Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Felice Spritzen is back. Felice has become a great member of our Brain Trust over the last few years. She's a seasoned media expert, radio, television, print journalist, president, CEO of the Media Line LTD. It's an American news agency specializing in covering the Middle East. And she is one of the hardest working people I know in the business, and they're a small business. That's what I love about them, just like you and me. Felice Spritzen, welcome back.
So great to be with you, and always enjoy speaking to you and your audience.
And happy Passover, by the way, to you and yours there in Israel.
Felice,
thank you. One of the things that we did in March was we did quite a bit of coverage of for women. During International Women's History Month, and I know you did a lot of that as well. And we were going to get you on earlier, and I think you got stuck in traffic maybe one day. But even though it's it's just a day beyond that month, I think it's still important to point out. I still want my audience to hear what you did during the month to help promote women in the international landscape.
So, Jim, to me at the Media Line, it's no such thing as just one day that's Women International Day. It's every day. We've been covering women for issues for, I have personally, 30 years and the last 21 years of the Media Line, where we highlight particularly women's progress, women in leadership, women's problems, and particularly in the Middle East as it relates to the world. So in light of what you asked, I was really fond of saying we need to do something more this month. And we really dedicated not just all kinds of interesting stories on interesting and spectacular women. I had a program, I started a TV show monthly called Facing the Middle East, and the whole show was dedicated to women from around the region, including the first exclusive interview with the Undersecretary, Dr. Sheikha Rana bint Isa al-Khalifa, who is very interesting, and she's one of the highest-ranking women in Bahrain in the foreign ministry.
Can I ask you a question? Was that interview, that relationship, did you already have that, or was that partially fostered by the Abraham Accord?
It was all of the above. Uh-huh. Because, I too have been, we've been covering Bahrain for years.
Right.
And it's a mix of everything. I think the Abraham Accords helped to facilitate finally allowing some of these people to be able to come forward and speak.
Mm-hmm.
But then look at the woman in Swat Valley, and she's a young girl, aged 18, turning 19, who I interviewed, who's fighting child marriage. She's actually a UN delegate, and here I get her, by Zoom, of course, to speak about what she's doing to fight child marriage.
Right.
It's hard to believe that they have a practice called the Swara and this tribal area, and they use girls as sort of collateral and compensation
right.
for feuds between families.
It's amazing. It's 21st century, and that's still going on. Well, Felice,
right.
My audience knows that I've been advocating for women since I've been doing my show. I've done a lot of programming. In fact, I've got a letter from one president thanking me for my work on behalf of women. But one of my favorite moments that I'll never forget, I worked with Terry Neese, who's helping women entrepreneurs in Afghanistan and Rwanda. And I interviewed a lady named Freshta, a mother from Kabul, Afghanistan. She owns a print shop. And while she was in America learning how to become a better entrepreneur, her own employees were burned her building, burned her business, and sabotaged her. And I asked her, I said, why are you continuing to do this? Why are you putting yourself in jeopardy? Why would you keep doing this? And she said, because I have a daughter. I'll never forget that.
And that's the whole point.
Because
that is
I have
the whole
a daughter.
Point. I mean, you nailed it. Right. So, you know, Jim, looking, and I'm sure people listening in the audience, they know these things exist, but they don't realize to what extent and how much work still needs to be done. And then you look at the flip side on a very higher level where leadership isn't where it should be. And I feel strongly it's still about building leaders, and that's part of what we do in terms of building leaders in women and men. And particularly I thrive off of building young women who are going to make a difference on a global scale. But Israel's election is a great case in point, because even with the numbers that are there, they're still at 25% at the threshold per the entire picture of women that will get into the next Knesset when the government finally does come together.
I want to talk about that in the next segment, but one of the questions I want to ask you is about the progress that's being made. You know, when I mentioned Feshta, she had her problems because she was the only female print shop owner in the country. And the men didn't like that. The male competitors didn't like that. Do you see tangible, measurable progress for women in the marketplace in the Middle East? Are you seeing that, you think?
Yes, I do.
It's not what we wanted, but they
may not be for the right reasons, Jim, but they are happening.
What does that mean?
Well, if you look at Saudi Arabia, everything is political and catching up and making Saudi Arabia be able to function beyond oil.
Right.
And a lot of it is by letting women into the workforce. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden you're seeing great changes there, but it's at a slow pace. There are still many changes that need to happen. Changes where women know, hey, now I can travel, but is everything still intact? Are women going to get higher positions in the monarchy? Wait and see. You know, there's still human rights violations that go on there, too. So you have to look at the positive and negative, and you have to call out countries on both. And that's part of it. You can't be afraid of just telling the story the way it is.
Well, that's right. And that's the challenge you have doing your work where you are. You still want to have access. You still want to be able to do your job, but you also have to be critical and objective about the reporting. You have to tell the truth, don't you?
100%. And the problem lies in exactly what you just said, where many journalists won't do that because then they're afraid they won't maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
There's always that fine line of how far can you go or how far is it dangerous for you?
That's the other
part. If we all did that, we wouldn't be covering the issues dealing with Iran and issues dealing with China and issues dealing with Russia and Turkey. And we have to be fair and faithful to the word of what we need to write about.
Journalists in countries like America who never leave our borders have no idea the courage that is required by people like Felice Friedson to do their work in a troubled region like the Middle East. We're going to come right back. TheMediaLine.com, is that right, Felice?
Org. Nonprofit.org.
TheMediaLine.org. I always forget that. We'll be right back, Steve.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.